Coming up on Tech Thing, why is your system running slow? Home automation with Amazon's Echo, Google's now a cell provider, and more. It's all coming up on Tech Thing. Help us keep Tech Thing coming to you each and every week. Go to patreon.com/techthing to contribute and keep us going. Thank you so much for your support of Tech Thing.
Hey, I'm Shannon Morse.
And I'm Patrick Norton.
And this is Tech Thing, where we make technology behave.
Except when it kicks our ass.
And there is some crazy stuff going on this week.
Okay, so first of all, look what I found in Best Buy.
Okay, what is that?
This is a
Wait. Oh, wait. I welcome you back to the 90s. When we had things like this.
Well, it's really funny. So I posted a picture of this 56K dial-up modem that was on sale. Like, it was like, you know, AC 97,000 router
so
over
weird.
Here and AC 19,403 USB
so
adapter
weird.
Over here. And in the middle was a 56K dial-up modem, which, as Shannon points out, is very like...
It's like a car alarm.
Right? And if you're under the age of 20 and staring at the screen right now, it's because you've never used 56K dial-up, and that's
you're
awesome,
so lucky.
And I'm so jealous. But I posted this on Twitter, and I got some amazing responses about people, you know, because either they're in rural areas still using this, or because it's the only thing they can get in their area, or because they're dealing with systems that are they're contractually obligated to dial in.
Oh, yeah, good point.
Turns out there's still good reasons to use a modem. And for everybody who's wondering why I was in Best Buy, ZOMG, 8 gigabytes, up from 4 gigabytes, under Windows 7, such an improvement in performance.
Oh, we'll yeah, you just that. Upgraded that.
We'll talk about that later this week.
Okay. So moving on, we got some news this morning from Google.
So like 18 hours ago, Google set to unveil wireless service, going to use T-Mobile, going to use Sprint, and then at approximately 11 o'clock this morning, bing, on the official Google blog is a blue paragraph. No. Say hi to Fi, a new way to say hello, which is essentially that Google is now a wireless provider.
Hmm.
So, let's see. Similar to our Nexus hardware program, Project Fi enables us to work in close partnership with leading carriers. Sprint and T-Mobile are partnering with Google.
Okay.
4G LTE.
So they're running on Sprint and T-Mobile,
yes.
Which is pretty similar to some other carriers.
Yeah, it's an MNV. Like, Google's probably the most...
MVNO, I believe it is.
They have more pockets than any MVNO ever. So they're going to be taking advantage of Wi-Fi to reduce carriage costs.
That's cool.
And it's really interesting... quote, Project Fi takes a fresh approach to how you pay for wireless, manage your service, and get in touch when you need help. We offer one simple plan at one price of 24/7 support. $20 a month, you get all the basics, talk, text, Wi-Fi, tethering, and international coverage in 120 countries. And then it's a flat $10 per gigabyte for cellular data while in the U.S. and abroad. 1 gigabyte is $10 a month, 2 gigabytes is $20 a month, 3 gigabytes is $30 a month, and so on. And if you don't use the data, you get credited for the full value, which sounds
That's
a lot like
cool.
our friends over at Ting.com.
It does.
I still have a Ting subscription, except that like Ting basically stacks up the data. Google, because they have all of the money, are refunding you for the money you don't use, or the data money for the data you don't use.
I can get down with that, but unfortunately for me, I have like no T-Mobile service where I live, so I might just have to stick with AT&T.
Do you have Sprint? Well, actually, here's the thing. If you don't have
kind
a Nexus 6 right now, you're not getting onto this. You need
right.
a Nexus 6. They pay, you know, you don't have to pay for your unused data. You know, they've got, this is a very, one moment, please. I'm going to pick up a slightly shattered Nexus 6 off the floor.
What? I was like, what just fell?
You know Darren switching.
Oh.
When Nexus 6 started flying through the air. Here, you see if the screen's still in one piece. But it's, you know, and
okay,
as you
good.
Would expect.
It still works.
Well, yeah, this is the coverage map. So the 2G, 3G, 4G LTE coverage map.
So and we have a Nexus 6 here. We can actually test this.
I suspect we'll be doing that. Well, we'll be signing up. There's, you know, you can sign up. If you want to try it.
So give me a great excuse to buy another phone.
Fi.google.com, because you need another phone.
Right.
You don't
Everybody
have
needs
phones.
All the phones.
Well, I would probably pre-sign and request an invite before
yeah.
I bought the Nexus 6.
Oh, yeah, that'd be
I'm
smart.
Just Something you bought that I've been having so much fun with is the
yeah.
Amazon Echo. In fact...
I have one right here.
Alexa.
The lights up.
Add six.
Sorry, I couldn't find a device
oh, sorry,
or group
she heard
named
me.
Lights.
Oh, goodness. Alexa, add bottle of tequila to my shopping list.
bottle of tequila added to your shopping list.
I've been getting...
My husband's going to think I'm an alcoholic.
Well, we have 100... I've added 100 rolls of toilet paper, 2 bottles of tequila, and a pony.
An inexpensive pony.
to the shopping list. So I... As cool as this is, and as fun as this is, Alexa, a.k.a. the Echo, will be going home very soon. Alexa, would you like to go home?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
You know what she does get, though? Watch this. Alexa, what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
That depends if it's an African or a European swallow.
Yes! That's so funny! I love that he knows that.
It's a Monty Python thing if you're staring
Alexa,
at the screen right now.
What is your favorite color? Alexa, what is your favorite color?
Infrared is super pretty.
That's awesome. So I got one of these because right. I've been interested in home automation, right?
Right.
We've been seeing it for years and years at CES.
Well, it's been the running joke. Like, first it was like, you know, okay, if you have $10,000 and a developer, you can install it.
Yeah.
2010, like internet.
Yeah, we started seeing a lot of stuff in 2010, like which was one of the first years that I went to CES. We saw like internet connected LEDs and lighting.
Right.
We saw like media centers, which is also kind of HTPC similar in that sense. In 2011, we saw a lot more smart TVs. Mm-hmm. So instead of your home theater PCs, lots more smart TVs, lots more LEDs. Philips Hue, for example, right. that was a big name. But we also saw an onset of like automated door locks, which right. still kind of scare me. Thermostats, home security cameras, stuff like that. And then in 2012, we started seeing the Belkin. So Belkin right. made a huge appearance back then a few years ago. And they've still been a big name with their Wemo plugins,
right.
The little switches.
Well, they started literally with
a
plug switch and then light switches. And then all of a sudden, internet connected crock pots.
Yeah, crock pots.
But what's been kind of crazy is for the first couple of years, first it was very proprietary.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were like 2 major competing systems.
Right.
And if you went with this system, you could control products from these vendors, and this system would control products from those vendors. And now everything seems to be
It's starting to commingle with each other. They're starting to be BFFs,
right.
and they're starting to use the same apps for lots of different integration. So
yeah.
even like in 2014, we saw DIYers being able to buy development kits from all these big name brands.
Right.
So we've been seeing a lot more openness with all these brand names, and that's gotten me more excited about home automation now in 2015. So back this year in CES, we didn't see a lot more,
right.
but we saw a lot more brands coming out with the same stuff.
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, if you want to get into home automation, the cheapest, fastest way to do it is start playing around with light bulbs,
yeah.
right? You know, because it's kind of funny, like, because the stuff floating around my house right now, it's like, oh, you know, Apple's got HomeKit.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, Logitech came out with Harmony Home Control.
Right.
And of course, now there's, you know, oh, by the way, we have a Nest thermometer, and Nest is trying to get into the home automation control
yep.
system, which brings us to
the Amazon Echo. So this thing, you can either call it Echo or you can call it Alexa. Oh, good, it didn't hear me. And those
Alexa.
Are the only 2 names that it will go by at the moment. It probably won't understand a word that we just said. Yeah, okay, it just turned off. But yeah, this is the first time that I've been playing with a home automation tool that also enables me to use other brand name products in the same application.
Well,
so,
I mean, it's funny because like I was making humor earlier as I'm ordering more and more toiletry products for Shannon, but it is always on, it is always listening,
yeah.
and therefore I don't have to pull a remote out of my pocket
you don't.
And start clicking on menus.
So
to turn
I've been
light
using
on.
This in my kitchen when mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, baking, which I totally always do because I'm an amazing baker, not really, but I use it for like my shopping list, which is great for my groceries because mm-hmm. it just automatically syncs to the app on my phone. I've also been using it to get the weather because
right.
I don't want to walk outside side of my PJs in the morning.
Alexa, what's the temperature?
Right now in Richmond, it's 57 degrees with cloudy skies. Today's forecast
and she gives
has
you
lots
a forecast.
Of clouds with
it's
a
so
high
cute.
Of 66 and a low of 49.
So then I just happened to get this in the mail because I had to pre-order it from Prime. It was $199 or $149 if you have Prime.
Mm-hmm.
When I bought it, it was $99 as an early adopter, I guess, thing that they had going.
Mm-hmm.
But now they enabled Philips Hue lights to work with the Amazon Echo,
okay.
as well as Belkin Wemo switches and some Belkin Wemo like door the door motion detectors and things like that. Just a few of the different products. So I just happened to get the light switch so I could test it with that, and I was actually pretty impressed with how well it works. I just have to talk to it normally as opposed to like being, I don't know, completely monotone at the thing like I do with Google sometimes.
Alexa, turn on the Wemo.
Okay.
There it is.
I'm still not used to voice-activated things actually working when I talk to them.
Yeah, I'm not either.
Which is part of why I'm just talking
at it
a lot.
You do have to pause. You do have to pause and wait for the lights to complete the circle.
Well, watch the circle.
Yeah. Here, I'll hold it up.
Alexa, turn the Wemo off.
Okay.
And then it thinks, and then it turns off.
That's so funny.
So it totally works.
Can you group Wemos? Can I turn like all of the living room lights on?
Yeah, you can group
or?
Them, or you can also name them different things. So if I had one in the kitchen, I could say, you know, Echo, turn off the kitchen light, and then it would turn off the kitchen light. But you have to make sure you name them different things, or name the group a certain group name for all of them to turn off or on the same time. But yeah, it has all those abilities in the application itself, so you never even have to deal with the Wemo application, which I really hate. Setting that thing up was horrible. So the Echo, I'm pretty happy with it so far. I've only had it for about 2 weeks now. It just sits in my kitchen and does its pretty little thing, but it works. I'm very satisfied with the product. Good
and
job,
it's
Amazon.
A speaker too.
It is. I could play some music on it. Let's see, Alexa. Play some music.
Here's a popular Prime playlist, up-tempo pop for work.
This is my heartbeat song and
stop
Alexa.
Before we get sued or take down notice.
Yep. Play like 2 seconds.
Sorry,
and then just be like,
I didn't
nope.
get that.
Here, I'll turn down the volume. So I can turn up the volume and turn it down. It's cool.
I gotta say, I am much more impressed with Echo than I thought I could be.
Yeah, I was too. I was like, oh, I'm gonna set this up, but I already have a Sonos thing at home, so I don't think I'm ever gonna listen to music on it. But I do. I still use it for, you know, the music, but mostly it's for setting timers, looking up stuff on the internet, weather reports, shopping lists, ordering tequila off Amazon.
Well, you do get to check.
You can also do one-click shopping with it, so don't buy anything. I know what you're thinking.
Oh, really?
Don't.
They turned that on already?
Don't buy anything.
Oh, it's going to be expensive week at Shannon's house. Oh, my goodness.
So, fun times.
Fun times. We should probably find out, speaking of fun times, what's going on over at Hack 5.
Hey, I'm Darren from Hack 5 and all the other fun shows that we do over at hack5.org, and we have an awesome show this week where we're talking about Jitsi. It is basically like rolling your own Google Hangouts WebRTC. It's a really cool way to collaborate. You can do video conferencing for free and easy. We show you how to build servers to do just that, as well as so much more when it comes to geolocating people's Wi-Fi. It's lots of fun. Check it out over at hak5.org.
It is now time for a rapid fire round. This week's Patrick is going to explain why he was looking at a 56K modem at Best Buy, because I'm very interested in why. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, go.
We'll get to the modem thing in a second. First up, we got a great question from @LonelyMango, AKA John Vito, @PatrickNorton. If you're doing the screensavers now, what's happening to Shannon and tech thing? Okay, nada, actually. It was kind of funny. So my buddy Leo up at Twit decided to do a new show called The New Screensavers, and it's kind of funny because they booked me to do something special on May 2nd, and
right.
I found on the 10th anniversary of the Twit show, which I was on last Sunday, which you should go check out at twit.tv if you haven't seen it yet. It's a lot of fun. Me, Robert Heron, Roger, John C. Dvorak, Leo. I found out that the thing on May 2nd is actually the premiere episode of The New Screensavers that Leo's putting together. Tech thing. Totally my day gig. It's what I do. It's what I do for you. It's what I do for us. It's how I feed my children. Tech thing is not going away.
Yay!
Yay!
And we got an email from Byron who asked ask@techthing.com. Hi Patrick, I'm building an HTPC to connect to my Samsung 8500 4K TV. I would like to know, will one GPU be sufficient? At the moment, the store I go to is telling me to buy the MSI or ASUS GTX 970 4G. Is it overkill or just nice? Will one be enough or do I need to consider getting two? I only plan to download and watch videos and web browse, so gaming for me is out of the question since I've bought an Xbox One. Regards from Byron.
Oh my goodness. So, if you're not gaming, you do not need a GTX 970. 3D gaming on 4K at 60 hertz, you probably want two of them running in SLI. Seriously, you can technically run the 4K screen, the UHD screen, off an APU on an AMD processor or the integrated graphics in the new Intel processors. It'll just run slow. And by the way, if you don't have HDMI 2.0 output, you're not going to get 60 hertz on that 4K
Good
system.
Point.
what you want are that HD TV. You want 60 hertz, except for, say, 24 frames per second movies. I would get the cheapest HDMI 2.0 card I could find. 2.0 is going to support 60 hertz refresh rates at 4K UHD, 1.4 maxed out at 30 hertz. Now, the reason your friends at the shop are saying the GTX 970 is because the 970 and the 980 were the first two GPUs from NVIDIA that had HDMI 2.0. So, and you're looking at that, it's like, oh, $337, $335, $340. Well, take a look at this, kids. The GTX 970 came out recently, and there's lots of good AMD cards, but I like the fact for a home theater PC that the NVIDIA cards consume so much less power and therefore will be quieter in most operations. A GTX 960 is running $200 to $240, so around $220, let's say. You get HDMI 2.0, so it'll run 4K at 60 hertz, and a 960 has something the GTX 970 and 980 don't, a built-in H.265 decoder. Should anything decide to take advantage of it, it will keep the unbelievably processor-taxing H.265 decoding off of your CPU and put it on the GPU.
Thank you for that answer. Very thorough.
I was having fun with that.
I can tell.
I have issues. By the way.
What?
No, go for it.
Number three?
Are you ready?
Okay.
Yes.
Will adding more RAM speed up my system?
In my case, it turns out yes, which is why I was in Best Buy finding modems. So it's kind of funny. People were like, freaking out. You were buying memory in Best Buy. It must have been an emergency, because I said it was an emergency memory. Well, it turns out the memory at Best Buy was $7 less than the same gigabytes on Amazon.
So really?
Really.
Wow, that's surprising.
Yeah, Best Buy is getting pretty competitive on their pricing. So check this out. This is, let me make this a little bigger. This is the Windows Task Manager, and this is my memory utilization.
Oh my gosh.
Well, here's the thing. This is not necessarily a bad thing if your system's running properly, because like Windows is going to cram a bunch of stuff in cache in system memory if you're not using that system memory for something else. However, if I go over here, you'll notice at the same time, this is the resource monitor. If you've never played around with this, it's a little tab at the bottom of the task manager. So Control Alt Delete, click on the tab for the task manager, and if you look down here, of course I have the CPU here and not the disk, which is unfortunate. So let me go and see if I have the disk usage. Oh, there it is. So when your memory, when you've maxed out your memory and your disk usage looks like this, this means you're constantly swapping back and forth to the hard drive, and you may notice your system is like taking like 30 seconds to respond to typing the letter E.
Yeah.
So when I dropped in, and it's kind of funny, it's not funny at all. It's kind of awesome. When I dropped in a single 8 gigabyte stick of RAM, all of the problems went away because it was still sitting at that 3.7-ish gigabytes of memory usage, but it was no longer running things back and forth to the hard drive in cache. And in case you're going, but Patrick, you need dual channel for performance. You obviously missed us talking about this awesome article at gamersnexus.net, RAM performance benchmark, single channel versus dual channel. Does it matter? In real life, no. In benchmarks, slightly. So I took one 8 gigabyte stick from my pack and I put it in my low-cost PC, and the other one's going into my Core i5 rendering PC, which will now have something along the lines of 12 gigabytes or 16 gigabytes of RAM. So I got two upgrades for two systems out of one trip to Best Buy, and found out that Best Buy's prices are getting competitive, but you should still always check online because they have price matching, including price matching with a lot of online vendors like Amazon.com.
I think it's called a red tag that can read barcodes in the Google Play Store. I use that whenever I go shopping.
Or just Amazon search for the product. I'm just saying though, you know what? Just it's always nice to know where the nearest place to get RAM is until they shut down at 9 o'clock. Central Computer for me is 8 o'clock.
Agreed.
Radio Shack. It's just
fries.
You know, if it's 9 o'clock and you need memory, where can you go? I'm just saying. Tweet at TechThing if you've got a question for us. We want to hear from you. Or go to Facebook.com/TechThing, where we interact and get social. I like getting social on the Facebook.
He does.
That's really creepy.
We'll be right back.
Yes. Yes, we will. Ladies and gentlemen, I love each and every one of you because people like you going to patreon.com/techthing are making this show, Tech Thing, keep coming back week after week. You're feeding my children, you're feeding Shannon's family, and you are awesome. If you'd like to help keep Tech Thing going, do us a favor, visit patreon.com/techthing. And if you don't have any money to donate, we got it. It's cool. Send in questions, share the shows with your friends, and let people know that Tech Thing's out there and getting more awesome each and every week with your help. Thanks so much.
We're back. We got an email from Nicolina. They said, hello, I spend a lot of time in front of the computer, at home, at work, etc. Most days, all day long. And I know it's really bad for the eyes, especially. Could you guys speak a little about eye protection in the show? I take breaks often, use UV 400 glasses when working. Maybe silly, but hey, it may help. I'm not sure how to take better care of my eyes. I would appreciate any advice. Thanks from Nicolina. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a good question.
It's a great question.
My eyes are horrible.
Well, your eyes might have been horrible without computers.
They were, because they started when I was like 4 or 5, and I had these huge glasses.
My eyes have been getting worse and worse, in part because of the amount of time I've spent in front of computers. However, okay, first up, taking breaks, number one best thing you can do. We'll talk more about that in a second. But seriously, I can relate to this. Back when dirt was still rocks and I was still working in Photoshop professionally, it was like 1.something, I had all of the major symptoms of eye strain. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to take us straight to the mayoclinic.org website because they are a vetted source. Do you hear me, spouse creature? I am looking at a vetted source on the internet. Eye strain signs and symptoms include sore, tired, burning or itching eyes, watery eyes, dry eyes, blurred or double vision. I've had blurred vision from working on a computer. Mm-hmm. Headaches, sore neck, sore back, shoulder pain, increased sensitivity to light, difficulty focusing. And I'm 20-something, I have amazing vision. I can read like 4-point type across the room, and all of a sudden I'm like having difficulty focusing and my brain hurts. And the optometrist said, do you work at a computer? And I said, yes. And the optometrist said, how often do you take a break? And I said, every 4 or 6 hours, whether I need a break or not. And the optometrist said, I'll give you an eye exam just in case, but you need to take a break every 20 minutes and focus on something that's not your screen.
Okay.
So, the Mayo Clinic actually has some really good stuff here, as they do. Lifestyle and home remedies, right? You know, when doing close-up work, make sure you have light that's well-directed. They have a whole giant section on tips for computer work. And a couple of the big ones are adjusting your position.
Oh, yeah.
Making sure your lighting is proper and you reduce glare. For example, if you are lead coder dude and you like to work in a black room of mystery with a really bright monitor.
Talking to you, Darren.
Yes, I'm talking to you, Darren. This is going to maximize a potential eye strain situation. Mm-hmm. But you generally like make sure there's no glare. To do that, you turn the monitor off and you see if there's big streaks across your monitor, then you adjust the lighting. I particularly like F.Lux. It will actually manipulate the color temperature of the screen.
It's
awesome. If you're doing sort of like fine detailed Pantone color work on your screen, not so awesome. But if you're like typing at 4 a.m, it will automatically warm up the light in the wee small hours of the morning and cool it back down during the day. A lot of people mock them, but there is actually science behind the glasses put out by Gunner.
Yeah, I have Gunner glasses.
I've had people who've used them and liked them a lot. They do prescription versions too. But really, I gotta say, you're already doing the best thing. Do yourself a favor. Let me just read the quote straight off of the Mayo Clinic website. A good rule of thumb is to follow the 20-20-20 rule. Every 20 minutes, take your eyes off your computer and look at something 20 feet away for at least 20 seconds.
Okay.
It's reasonable to take a break every 15 to 30 minutes for 1 to 3 minutes and then do other work, such as phone calls, filing during this time. Try to stand up and move around at least once every hour or so.
Okay.
If you've never gone to an optometrist, if you're in your 20s or 30s, hit the optometrist every 2 years, or if they start to hurt. By the time you're in your late 30s and early 40s, you should be getting annual eye exams. And do yourself a favor, go adjust your monitor right now. Links to that Mayo Clinic article that tell you how to set it up and how to keep you from hurting yourself are at the show page at techthing.com.
So Patrick, we got lots and lots of feedback about all those different Chrome privacy extensions that I was talking about a couple of weeks back. So I wanted to share a little bit of the feedback that we got from you guys, specifically from our Facebook over at facebook.com/techthing. The first one is from John. He said, I found that using Avast Chrome extension provides a nice combo of ad blocking and track blocking, interestingly enough. I don't believe that it goes as far as to block scripts though. Although just disabling Flash from running without clicking on it, which is a Chrome option, stops a lot of ads in their tracks, even if they get a chance to load. And you can find that over on the Chrome Web Store. It's called Avast Online Security. And our second one is from Brent, also on Facebook. He said, about the Chrome extensions, I use ScriptSafe because it basically filters JavaScript based on domains that I trust. I got that one from Steve Gibson, who is an excellent podcast, by the way, if you guys haven't checked him out. I don't mind the ads so much as following strangers to run code on my computer, so I focus on the scripts. And that second second one is over at ScriptSafe on the Google Chrome Store. Yay.
Oh my goodness. Hey, we also received some great suggestions for running Ethernet over 300 feet. Joe says, being an IT manager for a small city, I am always looking to do more with less, and this question I've resolved several times. I have used the Ubiquiti, several generations older than the new ones, products you mentioned, with great success at 1 mile. They are rock solid and a very good option. I recently replaced a couple close to 300-foot Cat 5 runs with pre-cut and terminated 315-foot, two-pair, single-mode outdoor fiber I got on eBay for about $135 and a pair of gigabit media converters for $125. I use Ubiquiti point-to-point, and they're Unify APs all over. They are very rock solid install and forget products. As you can see, fiber can be a lot cheaper than it used to be. Joe, thanks for the heads up on that.
Yeah.
And it always amazes me what I can find on eBay.
No kidding.
One last thing. Bill writes, Patrick and Shannon, this is in response to Dan's email about providing Ethernet to a building 300 feet from his house. I have a detached garage with Ethernet from my house. Although it is much closer than 300 feet, I was able to solve the problem with Ethernet over power line units. I had problems with directional Wi-Fi because of trees. If his buildings are furnished power from the electrical panel in his house, he may be able to solve his problem with a pair of units similar to the ones I have. I'm using D-Link's AV500. I have another AV500 unit in my attic. You need one cable directly into your LAN and plugged into a power outlet, and the additional units plugged into remote power outlets. Bill in Huntsville, Alabama. And it's an awesome suggestion.
You guys are so creative.
They're so awesome. There's tens of thousands of you and just two of us.
So. There are. So thank you, every one of you, for that feedback and all those different options that you guys share with us. It's always really good to hear what you guys think. So send over those tips and all your questions to ask@techthing.com because we want to hear from you. You have really good ideas.
It's your show.
It is.
Tell us where to go with it. Oh my goodness. That wraps up this episode of Tech Thing. If you like, do us a favor. Subscribe at techthing.com. There's links in every single show page and youtube.com/techthing if you're a YouTube kind of person. And before we go, have you backed up your system or your phone lately? Go do it now.
Right now.
And remember, once in a while, put down the phone, step away from the screen, close the laptop, and do something analog.
Step away. Like going to a theme cafe.
Oh, no.
Okay, if you live in Japan, you're probably familiar with these, but I just discovered them. There's owl cafes, and there's cat cafes, and there's even a Sailor Moon cafe called Cafe Talisman, apparently. It's in, like, Okinawa or something. I'm super excited. But this one is called, it's Japan's Owl Cafes.
Live owls
where you can either, you can pet them while you're drinking your teas, or you can just hang out with them and watch them in the different cages that they are in.
Nothing says refreshing, tasty tea break like an owl pal.
Look at this! Look, they're just chilling with the owls. They're like,
pellet,
hey guys, what's up?
Palette. I'd like to see an owl palette.
I want to go to the owl cafe.
You ever seen an owl pellet come out of an owl? I bet you can find one.
I don't generally watch for those.
Oh my goodness. Ain't no party like an owl pellet party, because an owl pellet party don't stop. I'm Patrick Norton.
I'm Shannon Morse.
We'll see you next week on Tech Thing. We gotta go get oxygen for our lovely producers.
'Cause
these people have never seen an owl pellet before. Look up owl pellet on YouTube.
Don't.
No. No. Come on. A little bundle of fur and bones. Owls are miraculous. Not, however, as miraculous as all these fine people who are supporting this and every episode of Tech Thing. We want to thank each and every one of you, especially you and you, 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 and you. Shannon's still looking up owl pellets.
I'm looking up owl pellets.
You should. Everyone should look up owl pellets. There's nothing more glorious than finding an owl pellet in the woods, because you know that vermin has been eliminated.
Echo, buy the owl pellets.
Can you record? Yeah, but the birds are moving.
Oh!
Here it comes.
Alexa.
We'd show you, but we'd probably get a takedown.
Add owl pellets to my shopping list.
Oh my gosh!
Ah! Yes!
Everybody goes, oh.
Have you seen an owl pellet? Have you seen an owl pellet? Owl pellets, people. This should be a meme.
No, it should not.
I've broken everyone today. I win on the internet.